This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This Ace Cast download is brought to you by LinkSoul. Go to LinkSoul.com and by Nest Bedding. Love where you sleep. Go to NestBedding.com.
Rise and shine, A's fans. It's time to greet the day with extra base hit. From late nights at the Coliseum.
Swing and a drive left center. This is well hit. Duran going back at the track. And it's gone. Just to the right of the 388 mark. J.J. Bleday homers to left center.
To early mornings with a fresh cup of Joe.
Say, have you got time for a coffee before you go?
That'd be nice.
Splendid.
Extra base hit will make your day green and gold.
And here's the pitch to him. Swung on a line drive. Dug out. Knocked out at second. Gilloff throws to first for the out. And the A's have won a great ball game.
Here's Jessica Kleinschmidt.
Welcome back to Extra Base Hit here on A's Cast. Jess Kleinschmidt here with Ray Jensen. Ray, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Jess. We're up early on this morning to give you Extra Base Hit, but it makes it all the more sweeter because I get to talk with you and get to talk baseball and A's baseball at that. And some interesting things to talk about this road trip and just in general. There's a lot going on around the league, some good, some not so good, but we'll get into all of it.
Yeah, and I'm loving this team right now. It's not as it was last season. And it's just like you said, a lot of good things to talk about. But we do have a full homestand ahead of us, and we'll talk about this recent road trip coming up. But the A's will host the Pirates for three games. I'm sure Commander Cody is going to love that. The three games against the Marlins will follow that and rounding it out with a four-game series against the Rangers. So a nice 10-gamer there. And it was funny, I was thinking about the six-gamer. The most recent one we had with the Nationals, the Cardinals, that actually felt like a long time. I thought it was going to go by fast, but there was a lot that happened and a fun little homestand there. But coming up Friday, May 3rd against the Marlins, we're going to celebrate the Asian American and Pacific Islander community's rich history in baseball with the A's AAPI night presented by Gilead. Every ticket sold through the special event link is 10% off the dynamic rate, and partial proceeds will benefit Asian Health Services' mission to serve and advocate, including the immigrant and refugee Asian community, and to ensure equal access to healthcare services, regardless of income, insurance, status, language, or culture. For more information and to secure your discounted group tickets, contact groups at athletics.com. There's also a gate giveaway, so early arriving fans can grab a commemorative Asian American and Pacific Islander night jersey presented by Gilead. And that's going to be while supplies last. And of course, Friday nights, there's Treehouse Happy Hour. They're back this season. So come out to the ballpark at 4:30 p.m. before each Friday night home game and drink specials, games, a DJ, A's Cast Live, and more. Fans can enter the Treehouse through LL Gate before all ballpark gates open to join the fun. Visit athletics.com/happy hour to learn more. So this was an interesting road trip for the A's. And we talked about it before we pressed record, starting it out getting swept by the Guardians, but there were still some positive takeaways. And I'll say this again, I don't think it's a bad thing against the A's. I think it's just more of a nod to how good the Guardians were as opposed to the A's performance. You know, Josh Naylor continues to mash at the plate. The pitching has been good even after losing Shane Bieber. We all remember what he did to us on opening day. He's, of course, going under Tommy John surgery. But yeah, Naylor's batting .295. He's got that .931 OPS. So I think we can positively say, A's, yes, they did lose. A loss is a loss, but we can confidently say the Guardians are certainly really good this season, Ray.
Yeah, we saw them play us really well at the Coliseum. And then, of course, when we go to Progressive, they're just as good. And I do have to credit them because it would have been easy after Shane Bieber went down and lost him for the season to just pack it in. This team was not predicted to contend. I mean, the AL Central, of course, was going to be a tight race, but I don't think a lot of people were picking the Guardians to be this good, especially early on. And with a new manager in Stephen Vogt, of course, we all believe in Stephen Vogt, but I don't think the general populace of fans of Major League Baseball were outside of Cleveland and outside of the Bay Area. But it's a pleasant surprise for what the Guardians are doing right now. And yeah, you can just tell this team is built for the future. They're young, they're talented, and I think they're going to be a force for years to come, it seems.
And I'm glad you mentioned Vogt, because not only did I have Andre Knott of Bally's on Ace Total Access presented by Chevron, I had Chris Rose on Shortened to the Point. And Chris Rose is a Cleveland guy. And we're talking about Vogt. And the one thing about Vogt is, and we all know Vogt. We know Vogt. If you're a member of the A's organization, you know him. Because you know what? If you are a member of the concession security, member of the front office, media, a former teammate, you know Vogt and you know him well. He's really good friends with Chris Rose. And we talked about the fact that he was very aware of the fact that he had to take over for Terry Francona. And that's hard to do. And no matter who was going to do that, you're going to have to fill in the void of Terry Francona. And they're so similar and so different in so many ways. And I feel like Vogt is definitely similar to Tito, where they're media darlings and they're so good at what they do. But talking to a lot of people, just like you said, the fact that he was so quick to become a manager, not too far removed after playing. We know his last at bat, that wonderful moment where he hit the home run. That is a top five moment for me. It's good to see. And he's also very much like, you know, I'm not going to be the smartest one in the room. And he's been leaning on Ramirez a lot. And, you know, when it comes to J-Ram, he's got this tough exterior, but he's also a teddy bear, but he'll get on you if you strike out. And Vogt got to play that guy to Cots, remember? Like, he was the extension of a manager with the A's. And then you have so much talent. You have Stephen Kwan, who's being more aggressive, batting leadoff. You have Freeman, who's acting like he's played center field for years, when he just switched to the center field position after being an infielder his entire career within a month ago or weeks ago. And you have, I mentioned Josh Naylor, who's becoming more patient at the plate. He doesn't like to be that way, but he is. So imagine what Naylor can do with all that aggression and evening that out with being patient at the plate. He's going to have so many better at bats. So there's some good stuff happening with the Guardians. And I think it was good for everybody to understand that, as opposed to saying the A's are terrible. It was an overall good series for the Guardians. Like, what more can you say?
And not to say there weren't bright spots for the A's, because they still played tough. Not all those games were just complete blowouts. I mean, the offense could still be a little more consistent. I know that we talked about how, like, the A's can't score more than three runs consistently, and that is an issue that should be addressed throughout the season. But you can't say enough about what this pitching staff has done, particularly in the bullpen. The starting rotation is starting to come along as well, and the defense has cleaned up a little bit. I mean, the double plays, the amount of double plays this team has turned, you can look at it either way, Jess. You can look at it as, hey, this team is really consistent at turning double plays, the chemistry is great, or in the glass half empty side, wow, there's a lot of guys being allowed to touch base if we're turning this many double plays.
Yeah, you could also say, you know, as long as we're keeping the ball on the ground, that's a positive too. And especially, remember those first few games, it's like I didn't recognize Nick Allen. I didn't recognize Zach Geloff from the defensive capabilities that we know they possess. And I've talked to Tristan Casas about it and Todd Frazier to nauseam. They were former teammates of Nick Allen on Team USA. They said that's one of the best defensive, if not the best defensive shortstop they've ever had. And Nick Allen, you watch him and you're kind of concerned about that. I think for him, it was just making sure he was trusting himself, and he's working extra hard on his offensive approach. And I feel like sometimes it's hard to even out. We see that with catchers a lot. I think Sean Murphy struggled in his first few seasons to even out what he could do behind and at the plate. So that's good to see. I think one of the stellar storylines across all the league was this Yankees series, mainly because, I mean, we'll talk about the JP Sears performance. It was stellar. But before that, you know, Aaron Boone was ejected five pitches into the game last Monday when the A's were playing the Yankees. So Boone argued about a check swing called. I believe this was against Esty Ruiz. And Hunter Wendelstedt behind the mound warned Boone to stop. And you know what he did? You know what he did, Ray? He stopped. Aaron Boone was quiet. He was like, I'm going to stop. I'm not going to do it. He even leaned up against like the dugout. He's like, I'm chilling. Boone responded with a thumbs up gesture, shut his mouth, right? He was done talking, but there was a fan above the Yankees dugout who said something toward Hunter, and Hunter heard this and ejected Boone, and he told Boone, I don't care who said it, like, you're done. So I had Yankees beat reporter Brendan Cuddy of The Athletic on the show on A's Total Access presented by Chevron, and he said it was one of the wildest things he had ever witnessed, but that was only part of it. The thing that got to me, Ray, was the bizarre response that Hunter had. saying Aaron Boone is the manager of the New York Yankees and is responsible for everything that happens at that dugout. I don't want to eject a ball player. We need to keep them in the game. That's what the fans pay to see. Aaron Boone runs the Yankees. He got ejected. So he knew it was at this point, the fan had said something. So he was saying, Aaron Boone, control your fans. Oh my goodness, Ray. What are your thoughts? And mind you, after the game, Boone said this was extremely embarrassing, right? And the fact that Hunter said this probably added to the embarrassment. Boone didn't end up getting in trouble. Mike Hill from MLB didn't fine him, didn't suspend him, nothing. But what were your thoughts on what went down? And the fact that Hunter said these things saying, control the entire fan base, please.
It reminded me of an ejection years ago during, I think it was during the COVID era, when the Mets are playing the Nationals at Citi, and Steven Strasburg was in the stands. And he said something like, oh, this is terrible. And he got tossed from the stands.
I remember that.
And it kind of reminded me of that, except it was an actual fan. It wasn't a player. So this was the closest thing that I can say to a reputation ejection that I've ever seen. Just because it was Aaron Boone and a Yankees fan involved, he's gone automatically. If it was like Kansas City, I don't think they would have cared. But because it was Boone, because it was Yankee Stadium in the Bronx, you're going to hear some chirping. And Hunter was like, not today. I haven't had my coffee. I'm done, dude. It is ridiculous. This early in the game, it's just, come on. What are we doing?
I'm right there with you. And it was the overall like aspect of it. Like you said, it wasn't just early in the game. It was crazy early in the game. Baseball had barely had started. It reminds me of like when I first start a segment or I first start a show and like the first three words I say don't make any sense because I'm not fully there yet. So then like he hadn't even fully shown up and he's getting ejected. It felt a little extra. And you know, I'm the queen of extra. So the fact that I noticed that was too much, like, come on. But you're right. I think the addition of it being Aaron Boone, being in the Bronx, all this other stuff was certainly something to be taken into account. And you got this note for me. 13 managers have been ejected so far in 2024, along with 11 players and 4 coaches. So are we ejecting too much? Here's the thing about ejections. Yes, I think it's on emotion, which I love, which is why I think it's important. It gives people their money's worth. I understand that. But at the same time, we don't have all the facts there. And we're just sending these guys back into the clubhouse, what have you. Like Schilt's been ejected quite a few times. I know Bob Melvin had a second ejection of the season already, 61st of his career. So these things are happening. I love the fact that we have managers who are willing to go out and stand up for their players. I want that all damn day. I want that all day. I don't want you sitting in the dugout just letting things happen. I think it's so important for these guys to stand up for themselves. Alex Wood did that recently. I feel like that's the best thing ever. But on the other side, the people who are in charge of these ejections, I don't want to say dramatic. I don't feel like that's the right word. We're not getting the facts too early. And then you add a human element, emotion, which is good to certain aspects. I think it's a little much, Ray.
I think when you look at it through the lens of what other sports and how they handle ejections, it is a little dramatic. You know, the giant arm wave, you're out of here. Get out of here. It's not like that in basketball. They're two technicals and the referee just says, oh yeah, so-and-so's been ejected. And that's it. Same with football. It's like, you really have to almost try to attempt to pull a Happy Gilmore and take off your skate and try to stab somebody to really get ejected from these other sports. Whereas in baseball, it just seems the trigger is just a lot shorter. These guys are just like, I don't want to deal with this. It almost seems immature and childish if you look at it from the lens of other sports, but in baseball it just makes sense because it's been that way for decades. So I do think maybe some adjustments need to be made, but who needs to handle that power and depending what changes come, because we all know automated balls and strikes, they want to have that in place in season's future, but who knows how that's going to be handled in terms of ejections. We want robots handling those. We want humans handling those. So many factors we need to consider.
Maybe we should get into the robo talk a little bit, because I went back to AAA recently and I was in the booth and I was able to kind of remind myself what that was like. So that's what we'll do. So coming up next is Extra Base Hit continues on A's Cast. We're going to talk robo umps. We're going to continue this conversation about the Yankee game because I don't want to take any of the spotlight away from JP Sears and Mason Miller. So stay tuned.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. the history.
Vegas Golden Knights.
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
This is Chris Townsend. I'm proud to announce our year two partnership with Link Soul. They've changed my wardrobe and they can do the same for you. And right now their spring collection is fabulous. Natural fabrics and versatile styles, perfect for this time of the year. And they want to introduce their performance line for golf, premium for on-course apparel design, and to keep you cool and dry. Check it all out, linksoul.com. That's linksoul.com. Remember, look good, play good.
Whether it's a midweek trip to the ballpark to catch a game or a weekend of baseball for the family, grab your tickets for an A's game this season. Secure your seats today for all the biggest matchups, fireworks, drone shows, giveaways, and more. Don't miss out on all the things happening this season.
Rose and Seth. It's a drive into center. It's deep, and Straw is back at the track. He will turn and watch it fly.
So grab yours now at athletics.com/tickets. That's athletics.com/tickets.
They got any just coffee?
Now back to Extra Base Hit on A's Cast. Here's Jessica Kleinschmidt.
Welcome back to Extra Base Hit. Jess Kleinschmidt here with Ray Jensen on A's Cast. We went over the ejection conversation that happened in that Yankee game, but I remember kind of being biased because obviously this made national news and it was John Boy because Aaron Boone was going to go on John Boy the next day for his monthly or whatever appearance. And I was like, let's not take away how good JP Sears was. Okay. And so Sears not only put on a masterclass, but he was so good against his former team, tossing six shutout innings with seven strikeouts, three hits in that 2-0 A's win. I talked about him, talked to him about this and said, you know, is there something extra there that goes against the Yankees? He's like, yeah, I think there's something a little bit extra there. You know, I want to prove to Cashman, like, you know, you traded me and look what I can do. And you know, what's interesting, Ray, the last time I talked to Chris Bassitt about this, he said he still brings a little bit of extra to the White Sox when he's pitching to the White Sox. So it's always interesting to hear about that. That stuff still holds true to them. And I think that's so cool. And I was actually listening to the Orioles broadcast this most recent outing for Sears. We don't have to talk about that because we're going to concentrate on the Yankees. But they were very impressed with his breaking ball, the high quality of it. And they talked about the deception of his specialty pitches, which is not only what Jim Palmer of the Hall of Famer, Jim Palmer, noticed that about Sears, but going back to the Yankees game, Soto said he was struggling to see the ball out of Sears' hands. It was like a blob of white. And the next thing you know, you're struck out. And I think that was really cool because not only is it a former Yankee, but Soto was going up against some really big names. And I think 1-9, that entire Yankee lineup is a guy that you want to strike out. And I think he needed that even after coming out that strong outing against the Rangers. But heading into that game, Sears has allowed just one run and six hits over 17 1/3 innings pitch. We don't have to talk about what happened against the Orioles because we don't need to do that. But I thought it was really cool that, well, we know baseball is baseball. It's humbling, but it was really cool. And I loved having him get the recognition that he deserved, especially because that led into the bullpen. You mentioned how strong the bullpen has been on that day. I think Aaron Boone said some really nice things about the bullpen, stating that despite what people are saying, when it comes to the bullpen, however it could be, he said the A's showed some promising stuff out of the bullpen and they got to see Mason Miller firsthand. I will say though, when I talked to Brendan Cuddy of The Athletic, he was more or less saying, yes, Mason Miller throws hard. He wasn't going above and beyond. I think he was more impressed with what Sears could do as opposed to what Mason Miller does. You know, the writing's on the wall. We know he's pitching in triple digits, seven saves, which are the most in the majors by a rookie pitcher and tied for sixth among all pitchers, ranks tied for first among major league relievers and seventh among all major league rookies in strikeouts with 25. How do you feel? Because I think about, it reminds me of like the Grant Balfour days when Liam Hendricks would come out of the bullpen and it's like, he's that dude. And you know, it's about to happen. The A's need it just from like a cool pumped up situation. How do you feel when it's Miller time, Ray?
I mean, I feel comfortable. I feel confident. And I think that's what you need to have in a closer, that you are comfortable with them being out there no matter how many days of lack of rest they've had or how long it's been since their last outing. It's just, you're confident they're going to get that win. And I think on top of that, not to take anything away from what Mason's been doing, he's been absolutely incredible. There's a reason he was at MLB Network Studios to talk about what he's been doing. I think Lucas Erceg deserves equal amounts of praise to what he's done. But what Erceg and Miller are doing as a 1-2 punch in the A's bullpen is incredible. And I think it's really lended to the increase in wins we've seen early on and the progress that we've seen, not just for them, but throughout the rest of this bullpen, from Michael Kelly to Mitch Spence. You can go on and on with all these guys that have just been tremendous, either if they were here last year or not. You can see the uptick in confidence and what they can bring to the table. Their pitches are cleaner. And just look at the lack of runs that have been allowed by this bullpen. That's the progress you need to see.
I'm right there with you. And TJ McFarland also has been really good with inherited runners. Leaving them there, not crossing the plate, has been great. And just like you mentioned, Lucas Erceg. And you're right. Like, there's definitely been, rightfully so, some attention on Mason. And Erceg isn't going to be the guy to say, make it about me. That's not him. But he has not allowed a hit in his last six games. So that's across seven innings. And opponents are 0-for-19 with three walks over that span. He has not allowed a run in his last seven appearances. He's just stellar. And imagine having him there, and Spence and Kelly. Like, it's been really fun to watch. It's definitely, you know, even stretching out beyond the bullpen. Of course, the starting rotation has been stellar. What Paul Blackburn's been able to do has been great. But here's the quote from Aaron Boone on the A's bullpen. There are a lot of teams out there, and when they have the lead, you are going to see really good stuff coming out of there. Certainly the A's have that. So that's been great to see as well. I feel like when you start off with what the A's are doing, and I don't think Alex Wood and Ross Stripling, Wood had a pretty stellar outing as of late. Whether the numbers are there or not, I think they're taking a lot of the pressure off of Sears and Blackburn, who don't have to worry so much about, they can just show up and pitch the way they know how to pitch. And of course, with Paul Blackburn, the way he mixes and matches, that's certainly going to be something to keep an eye on, because as a hitter, you're just hoping that he makes a mistake and you pounce on it and you capitalize off of it. That's what you're praying to do. There are opposing hitters, opposing hitting coaches that hate the scouting report on Paul Blackburn, because it doesn't matter how much you scout, you don't know what he's going to throw. He so evens out everything that he does in his specialty pitches. The velocity is not going to, you know, blow by you, but the way that he approaches it and throws those mix and matches of pitches is going to get a guy out every time. So that's been fun to watch. So, I mean, I'm loving it, you know, I think Wood and Strip are going to eventually figure some things out. They're going to even it out. I especially want to see Strip come up to the point where, cause some of these outings, we'll talk to him about it afterwards. He's pretty confident in what he does. It's just the batters are figuring him out. They're finding the gaps on him. That's something I know he wants to work on. Wood definitely pulled a masterclass in what he's capable of doing. So it's the starting rotation and the bullpen. This is something I haven't seen, gosh, in 3 or 4 years, Ray.
You can definitely see the progress. And I know Wood and Stripling, they were coming off some seasons that didn't have the best results, but you can see the progress. Wood pitched well against the Yankees. I thought it was great when Kotz went out there and kind of challenged him, basically telling him, dude, can you get this guy out? I need you to do this. And then he stepped up when he needed to. So he is coming along. I think he's starting to get into the groove, and Stripling has shown some progress. There's going to be bumps on the road, as you mentioned, Sears against the Orioles and game two. They're going to happen. They happened last year. Slip-ups are going to happen. Nobody is perfect, and especially so in baseball. Your mistakes get magnified when people start figuring you out. But I think once they keep sticking to the process, Scott Emerson has done wonders with these guys and continue to do so, and just continue to count on their teammates and have faith in their teammates, because the offense we know has been inconsistent, and what you don't want to do is lead the mistakes that you make on the mound compound into this, oh, we're done because our offense can't score. You have to have that confidence in your teammates and keep an upbeat attitude. And it's going to be difficult. But once I think the offense finds a little more consistency and kind of can ramp up their game as well, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's more fun already than it has been last year. That's without a doubt. But there's more work to be done, and I'm looking forward to seeing the developments along with the pitching staff at the plate.
Oh, me too. And I think it's getting nationally known. Like, I was just on MLB Network Radio, and they were like, the team's not that bad. And I think when the offensive capabilities catch up, just to, like you said, it's going to be really fun to watch. Stick with us as Extra Base Hit continues. We have a lot more to go over. We're going to talk about this Players Weekend that they're reintroducing. Don't love it because I don't get my certain aspects of it, but we have a lot more to go over, including some announcements for the homestand.
Nestled in the hills of San Jose, minutes from Silicon Valley, Cinnabar Hills Golf Club offers 27 holes of championship golf, a first-class pro shop, practice facility, and great food in the grill. This time of year also means family and business get-togethers. Let the folks at Cinnabar Hills make your event unforgettable while enjoying their award-winning venue. It's all there for you. Championship golf, a great space for any events, and incredible food. See it all at CinnabarHills.com. That's CinnabarHills.com.
Back from our coffee break.
My God, that is the best coffee I've ever tasted.
It's time for more Extra Base Hit on A's Cast. Here's Jessica Kleinschmidt.
Welcome back to Extra Base Hit here on A's Cast. Jess Kleinschmidt and Ray Jensen here. So we went over how strong the bullpen's been, you know, the starting rotation has been. I wanted to pick your brain, Ray, about this upcoming homestand, and not just because of what, you know, all the cool stuff that's going to happen, but I think this is going to be a huge defining moment for the A's. That sounds super dramatic. And let me have my dramatic moment, okay? Because the Pirates are really, really good. The Marlins are that team. Obviously, they're struggling, to say the least. But last season, the A's were in those shoes where they would take a Brewers series, or they would just randomly do the baseball thing where you never know. So I thought I would pick your brain about what you believe the A's need to concentrate on during this homestand in order to consistently get those wins again. What comes to mind?
You mentioned it in the last segment, but I just think offense is key. You got to score runs. I mean, there's a dear friend of mine whose shirt I'm wearing today, former broadcaster for the Rays, Dave Wills, who untimely passed away last year. Mm-hmm. He said you can't leave too much chicken on the bone. And that's what I think the A's do on offense, either leaving guys on base or they're missing opportunities to score. For one, the strikeouts are too high. You got to make contact mm-hmm. for sure. I think that would help a little more when it counts most. And I think that the A's could use a little more contact-heavy swing instead of just trying to go yard. The A's are one of the more reliant teams on scoring when it comes to the home run. And we all love the long ball, but you got to play a little bit smaller every now and then and try to, even if it means keeping it in the park, but keep the line moving. I think, you know, once that consistency is present, the wins will come. And I think the pitching staff, they can't do any more than they've already had unless they want to be perfect. But striving for perfection each and every time is just not a realistic expectation.
I'm right there with you. I think the offensive capabilities need to step up. You mentioned the solo runs. That's all the A's are known for these days. Like, okay, we're going to hit a home run. There's nobody on base. I love it. I mean, I'm not the chick who digs the long ball. I do like the short game a lot. I think it's an important part. And I think about, you know, Brent Rooker. Yes, he had his fifth home run of the season Wednesday night. He's got 5 home runs on the season. I'm glad he came back from the IL swinging. But the average certainly isn't there. Average is whatever to certain aspects of the game between him and Shea Langeliers. I believe they're batting around the Mendoza line, maybe even below. But I want to say, I don't care about the average as much when it comes to those two as much as I care about, let's put some ducks on the pond and then we'll hit them in. I love that aspect. Fundamentals, baby. We love it. And then I just like how Brent is, I think he's becoming more solid as far as, they definitely have the book on Brent. Like, let's just call a spade a spade. But I think he knows that. And I think he's able to approach with that mentality. I really like what Tyler Nevin's done as of late. He's batting .308 over his last 16 games. He went 1-for-9 over his first 4 contests. He struggled during that homestand, but showed some solid numbers on the road. Maybe it's an atmosphere thing. Maybe it's just he got his feet wet because he was starting out with a new team. I'm excited to pick his brain about that tomorrow at the Coliseum. I was watching a little bit of the Orioles broadcast because I'm always curious how Palmer compliments the pitchers. But of course, Nevin previously was with the Orioles, and Palmer complimented his character on the broadcast for Nevin, saying, "What a fine young man." And it's very true. The guy that I'm so sick of defending him because nobody else defends him is Abraham Toro. I need for him to step up. I just need for him to step up because I see these glimmers and I'll just be hooked. I'm like, okay, you find the gap, okay. And then he doesn't do a thing. And I'm a sucker for somebody who is a super utility man on paper. And I love that he comes from both sides of the plate. And that maybe that just could be because I'm super romantic about Jed Lowry and his approach. But I want him to step up so bad. I think if he becomes consistent, he could really be a game changer. He was batting leadoff quite a bit heading into this or finishing up the Royal Orioles series. We have Lawrence Butler batting leadoff. So it'll be interesting to see how he does. And then Hernández, you know, I think Hernández just needs those consistent at bats. I want him to do well. I just spoke to him recently. I was covering that game just for funsies. And the next thing you know, Hernández is he exited the game to be promoted after Zach Gelof landed on the IL. It was such a good conversation too, because I talked to him before he pressed record and he was very understanding of the fact that he was going to get more consistent at bats in AAA. And I thought that was important too, because his confidence level is nothing that anybody was ever concerned with. He worked with E-Mart quite a bit on his infield defensive game. When it came to Hernández, like I mentioned, the confidence, E-Mart said, "You're doing good, but I want you to do this." And Hernández immediately went to the drawing board and decided to work on it. So I'm glad he's back. He had a really good game the other day, and especially against the Yankees, where he got off the plane at 6:30 in the morning and boom, you have to go in the lineup. I'm so glad I don't have to do that, Ray. It's 9 o'clock on a Sunday and you and I have to tape a podcast. And even you and I were like, "Oh, it's early." Suck it up, guys. We have to talk about baseball. These guys have to go out and like perform and we have a microphone in front of our hands. Like, okay, like we're fine. So, I mean, I think those guys need to step up. Blade is kind of struggling too. I want to see him kind of come back to the Blade that came out of the gate swinging, no pun intended, and being consistent. So I think we can both agree. Let the starting pitching remain what it is. Of course, they know it's going to be ups and downs and the bullpen is remaining stellar. Inject that Miller time into my veins. I love it each and every time. And then let's just hit the ball, Ray. What do you say?
I think you pretty much put it as well as you can. Like you can probably go up and down this lineup and find something that needs to be tweaked or a swing here that could be adjusted here and there. And there's so many guys. If everyone could just stay hot at the same time, everyone's on a roller coaster, but at different frequencies. Someone goes up, there's like three other guys that are trending downward and vice versa. It's just everything could just be more consistent and just hit a little more. We would be so much better off than we are now. And compared to last year in 2022,
I was just going to say that
well beyond and well ahead of schedule. But it's I think it's even more frustrating when you're right there. You can see what needs to be done to become a consistent winner. And it just hasn't happened yet. And that can be more frustrating than you're just getting blown out 7-0, 10-0 every night.
Totally. I was just thinking like, last season, if we were having this discussion, it's like, yeah, well, that's what we expect, of course. And, you know, last season, it was a rookie rotation after rookie rotation. It wasn't anything different from that. Even with having Pauly B and JP in that rotation, it was just a different mindset. So I'm right there with you, like, compared to last season, this has just been such a treat. And you're right. It's more frustrating because there's potential there. We didn't have potential, not even just potential, but the numbers are showing like, I can prove that this is why this is working. So that's been so awesome to see. So just overall, it's been a fun product to cover. So I will say that. If you do join us for this homestand Saturday, May 4th against the Marlins, is Star Wars Day. I know you guys love that. Early arriving fans receive a Star Wars reversible bucket hat. Bucket hats are so in trend right now, Ray. Did you know that?
Not trending with me, but I don't look good in a bucket hat. That's why. I mean, if you can rock the bucket hat with confidence, more power to you.
Yeah, bucket hats, it's they went from being just like the dad vibe to I see supermodels wearing bucket hats. And that's also how I feel about a lot of things these days. I don't know. Like the new era shoes, like a lot of dads and models wear them. It's weird. I'm wearing my new eras right now, too. They're very comfortable to do my hot girl walks in. Sunday, May 5th against the Marlins is Youth Baseball and Softball Day. The second one of the season, the A's are excited to bring back Youth Baseball and Softball Days presented by Kaiser Permanente in 2024. Bring your teams out to enjoy a day at the ballpark with the pregame parade on the field before the game. The players love that. Just don't bump into them and they will sign autographs for you. The Topps truck will make a pit stop at the Coliseum as it makes its way through the country on Sunday, May 5th. Head over to the Bart Plaza to enjoy cornhole, plinko, a trading card wall, and more. Fans can also pick up Topps brand and giveaway items and sample packs of baseball trading cards as well. And of course, Sunday's kids race around the base presented by Chevron. Kids race around the bases presented by Chevron invites youngsters 14 and under onto the field after most Sunday day games to run the same bases that the A's players do. A's mascot Stomper will be on the field to cheer on the runners as they round the bases. After the end of the game, fans can enter the B gate to line up and will access the field via the right field stairwell. ADA guests will be escorted to section 143 to access the field via the elevator. So on that note, Ray, we're talking about Players Weekend, and it's back, but with some alterations. For those of you who don't know what Players Weekend is, it's a beautiful thing because it celebrates the players, and rightfully so, but it celebrates who the players are as people, as opposed to just being the baseball players that we look at them through a scope through. And it's hard, right? But previously, they used to have these nicknames on the back of their jerseys, which I loved, because the one that sticks out the most, there's two. One of my best friends, Evan Marshall, who is no longer playing. I don't think he's officially retired. Hopefully I didn't break that news. He hasn't officially retired, but his name is Evan Marshall. So his nickname was Forgetting Sarah, right? And the cast somehow figured this out, and he got a call from Forgetting Sarah Marshall. I can't remember his name, the lead actor in that movie, but he called him. Do you know the name?
Jason Segel
sent him a voice or like a FaceTime or a video saying, hey man, thanks for having this as your team nickname. And Ray, we finally get Ross Stripling and we don't get the chicken strip jersey. That's, you know what? I don't ask for much, but I do want a chicken strip jersey. So I'm just going to have a conversation with him, be like, man, can we figure this out? I need something. I love a chicken strip, and we got Ross Stripling. So that bums me out.
Missed opportunity for sure.
Like totally missed opportunity. It's just as frustrating anything else that we're like, I just want consistency. I want consistency in this team. I want consistency in the Players Weekend, but from 16th and the 18th of August, a different aspect of players' lives will be highlighted through in-stadium events, game broadcasts, and social media. This is really cool, though. It's going to feature their personalities, friendships, and then off-the-field interests, charitable causes, celebrating the people who helped them get to their major league dream, parents, coaches, and other mentors. They will still have special new era caps with the players' uniform numbers on each side panels. It's going to be a youthful design. I have no idea what that means. You know, it's very youthful is adding chicken strip to the back of your jersey, but I'm going to let that go. Players will be able to customize bats during the games. They can wear their customized cleats, personalized designs as well. That part I freaking love. I love that. Like, I'm like, Law and Geloff had these beautiful spikes for Jackie Robinson Day. I'm excited to see what they do for these days. I feel like this is so important because one of my favorite things of my job is to introduce to you this player as a human being. And that's my absolute favorite part, whether it's the good, the bad, the ugly, the stuff that they're actually going through, the conversations I have beautiful conversations with Lucas Ersig about how he's approached sobriety and becoming, you know, sober and all of that. And I learned from him about his life stuff, and he's become more open about it. He never used to be. So just stuff like that, I think, is very imperative because we put these guys on a pedestal, and yes, they can probably hit a baseball harder and more effectively than you and I can. Not by much though, if we look at some of the averages, I'm kidding, but it will depend. I think this is so important to introduce you, the fan, to them, the person, Ray.
It's an important weekend to kind of highlight the personality of these players, to highlight their stories and the relationships they share within the game and outside the game. Because I think that's what's going to help grow the sport, is that you can identify with them as a human being and relate to them as well. I think that's what benefits other sports like the NBA and the NFL. We can relate to these players because those leagues are so open and willing to showcase them as a person, not just as a player. We all love what Ja'Marr Chase and guys like Joe Burrow, et cetera, Brock Purdy are able to do. But if we don't really see them as people, you know, there's no connection there. Nationally, and even for casual fans, that they see them and see their stories, it can help bring more fans in and more eyes to the game, which benefits everyone.
I agree. When I covered Mark Canha when he was with the A's, it was a random thing. I saw him in a photo. It was a Wire photo, like AP or something, or USA Today. He was holding a potato. Okay? He was holding a potato on the field and talking to a fan. It looks like he was about to sign the potato. So my boss at the time goes, go talk to Mark Canha about the potato. And I was like, okay. And he said, there's nobody else in the world, Jess, that can go ask Mark Canha about a potato. So I did. And I talked to him and he goes, you never forget your first autographed potato. And guess what? I told the story to all my friends who couldn't care less about baseball. They're still following Mark Canha's career because he signed a potato and I wrote an article about it. So that's what's important, right? I feel like, yes, the numbers are important too, but my favorite thing is after a scrum is I follow it up with like an actual honest human being question. And you see it. Like I mentioned the cleats or just the, like certain things they'll hold up in their locker, a letter, what have you. This is awesome. I'm bummed they let it go for a little while because it was the uniform sucked. I hate the uniforms when they first came out. They didn't look right. So that's why I'm nervous about how they're going to present the uniforms. I don't know how that's going to go. If they do change those up, it's not like they can be any worse than the uniforms they're wearing now. But I also know that I think it's so important for the game and the way that social media has boomed. We definitely have more access to the players than we ever have. And now that we have that access, let's make it a little bit more so, yes, they're different. They are in a different literal league of their own, but they're more approachable now. We can, I guess, relate to them in a certain way. So that's always good. I love this. I'm glad it's back and all that. Did you also see that you can now get ballpark food delivered to your home? Did you see that?
I did see that. I don't know if I'll be partaking in that because I don't need the temptation in the house. I'm already have to deal with it out at the ballpark. I don't need that temptation. Don't bring me that s'mores milkshake. I don't want it. I don't need it in my life, but I do.
I know. I get so fat during homestands. I get so chubby during homestands. But if you're in Texas, could you imagine just like I'm thinking myself at my Walnut Creek apartment and this foot-long hot dog from the Texas Rangers gets delivered covered in pulled pork and hopes and dreams. And you're just going to eat it. It's already $33. Imagine what like the DoorDash fee is or whatever it is.
And you got a tip. Imagine? Yeah. It's
just, and then, like, then you get it and then it's a hot dog. So it's going to be not good. Like, I don't know. I think there's other stuff that the league could have done to promote baseball. But hey, I am looking forward to this home series. I think it's going to be great. Like I said, a lot of Marlins are, we don't know what the Lizardo situation is too. He's dealing with an injury, but there's a lot of familiar faces over there. I think Puck, he's moved back into the bullpen from what I hear. Bethancourt will be back in town. Maybe Bry will make an appearance. I don't know with some of the moves, but it's going to be a fun series. Obviously, Cody is going to be stoked that the Pirates are in town. He deserves that. And then Dallas Braden too. So.
Yep. And then we get the Rangers if the return of Mock Simeon. And we'll get nice and comfortable with the Rangers, especially with a doubleheader scheduled on that Wednesday game.
It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be a long day. It's gonna be a long day. But yeah, Ray, this is fun. I'm excited. This is gonna be a fun series.
It's always fun to talk baseball with you, and it's gonna be an interesting homestand. Lots of different teams to look at. Pirates are on the up and up, Marlins are way down from last year, and the Rangers, even though they're not as intimidating as they were last season, they're still the Rangers, and they still have a ton of talent. So it's, again, a good test for this A's team to see what they can do, get the offense going, and just put your best foot forward and see what you got. Just go toe-to-toe with these teams and have confidence that you can win, because there is confidence to be had with this team.
We were borderline begging for the A's to have offense this homestand. Borderline begging.
Right.
I'm not complaining. I'm just pointing that out. Thank you guys for tuning into Extra Base Hit. For Ray Jensen, this is Jess Kleinschmidt, and we'll see you at the ballpark.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This has been a presentation of the Oakland Athletics.